Ephesians chapter 4, I want to pray. First, I want to thank you for being here. A lot of people aren't. You know, we have a host of, whole ton of people who are sick, one thing or another. I got several texts this morning, and I've heard some other things. Your worship lead is not 100%. He's just kind of fighting through it. But you're here, and we praise God for that, and we hope that God will speak to your heart here this morning. So let's pray. Father, as we look into your word, we thank you and praise you for it. And Lord, speak to us. You know, here it is, 1,000 things people could be doing, but they're here to look into your word, that you might change us gloriously forever, like only your word by the power of your spirit can. And Lord, we're mindful of those who aren't here for sickness, and Lord, we pray you'd be with them. I'm not going to name them, Lord, because one, I'm not going to tell you anything you don't already know unless I, you know, leave somebody off the list. That would be a bad thing. But Lord, all those who name your name here and in the surrounding regions who love your word and your son, they would be in their places of worship this morning, Lord, but sickness has put them aside. I pray your healing hand in this church, in this body of believers, in this area, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians 4, a lot of content. I don't know how I'm going to get to it all. We're taking smaller bites, and I hope that's okay. I mean, you know, there's no Bible verses. You got to get like 30 verses in a day or nothing like that. So I think we're going kind of a little bit faster. If anything, I'd rather slow down, but I don't want to slow down to a crawl. People get discouraged like, you know, we've been in Ephesians for like 4 years now. Actually, I think we've been making good progress, but I want to back up to chapter 4 because we looked at the first 6 verses. But if we're going to go all the way up to verse 13, but I want to read it in context, okay? So I'm going to start back in verse 1. If you would, give your attention to the reading of the Word of God. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Well, what does that look like? Verse 2, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. That doesn't surprise us, right? Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, I just want to emphasize that. The part we're going to look at is kind of like a parenthesis. The open parenthesis is unity of the Spirit, and the closed parenthesis is unity as well, and everything in it is about unity. You think so, Adam? Well, look at verse 4. There's one body, one spirit, even as you're called, one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. You get the idea of oneness there? You don't have to be, you can be as dumb as I am and still get that, right? But every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, there's that word again, unity, and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So, we're talking about unity. We talked about unity last week. We did the first 6 verses. Verse 7, new material now, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now, gift and grace are redundant. Of course, grace is a gift. But he's saying that you all get a measure of this grace. What does that look like? Well, again, we're talking about unity. So it's grace like what? I get a measure of grace because I'm going to need grace because people are going to sin against me and I'm going to have to slather grace upon them. That's a given. You know, grace received is grace bestowed. But I don't think that's what he's talking about here. He's talking about a grace gift. The gift that God has given us. All the gifts that were given, it's not because you are so wonderful and God recognizes your wonderfulness and he bestows this wonderfulness on you because you're wonderful. It's got nothing to do with anything like that. It's got to do with God bestows gifts on us. Why? Because he's gracious. He's one who gives gifts. You know something about this, men. You remember when you were still dating? When you used to open up your wallet and you're happy to impart money to your bride-to-be. You gave her a big old diamond, right? You were trying to get her to marry you, and it was really a bad idea, and you were trying to show her why it was a good idea. So you know that, you know, I'm going to grease the skids with a big old, you know, I'm just going to take her breath away before she can say no. I'm going to open up this box. It's going to be a big old diamond. She goes, oh, yes, I'll marry you. And you're thinking, all right, I got that on tape. We're good to go, and away we go. It's God's like that with his bride. You realize that? He gives gifts. You say, really? Yeah, I think that's what we're talking about. And this is what happens here in this gift giving. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. What does that look like? Well, whole books are written by this. This is very, very controversial, but I don't think it is at all. I'll show you why I think it's easy capeasy, it's obvious. Now, that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He couldn't have ascended if he hadn't descended first. What is that lower parts of the earth? I'll show you. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Now, the gifts are listed that he gave are listed in verse 11. Is that all the gifts? No, they're just administrative gifts. Gifts are told to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and Romans chapter 12, among other places in Scripture. And when we get there, we go over those. We're just going to do these four, but I want to talk about what's the ascending, descending. He's quoting from the book of Psalms, chapter 68 and verse 18. He doesn't quote the whole thing. The whole thing is kind of interesting to me. I'll read it, and if you turn, that's fine. But if you don't, I'll read it. I'll accurately quote it. I won't make up stuff. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men. Received there is given gifts for men is the idea. Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also. Say, really, that's there? I'm not making this up. I couldn't make stuff up like that. For the rebellious also. You're saying, ah, that explains you. Amen. I hate to put a pin in your balloon, but it also explains you. It's grace. It's got nothing to do with how wonderful you are. I told you that. It's got nothing to do with how wonderful I am. He's going to give grace gifts because he loves his body. It's got nothing to do with, and so when we talk about like our giftedness, you know, doesn't that sound arrogant? Boy, I'm really a gifted teacher. You say, well, we should say that. You shouldn't say that. It sounds arrogant when you say that. Well, I know what you mean because I know. If I say I was a gifted musician, I'm not. Then it sounds really arrogant. I mean, don't the people who like listen to you, don't they get to say? Yeah, yeah. But this isn't like that. This is just an acknowledgement that he's given us gifts. Because I hear people say, oh, I'm not very gifted at all. He doesn't give me any gift. No, that's scripturally wrong. That's not you being humble. That's you being scripturally incorrect. No, he's given even us rebellious ones, even us who are like afar off. He's like, hey, I got a job for you to do. It's not like I want to save you to stop you from going to hell, which he does. And by the way, amen. And if that's all he's ever done, good. But that's not the whole thing. Oh, no, 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 no. I got a big plan for your life. I got high, the size of my plans. And you can't do it in and of yourself. I'm going to give you gifts. It's like, oh, now we understand it a little bit better. That's why it's grace, right? I'm still back in Psalm 68. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord might dwell among them. What's the reason for the gifts? That the Lord might dwell, can I say in unity? I mean, would I be adding too much? Well, obviously, if he's dwelling among us, that it is obviously the idea of unification. And look at the passage that we find that in, a passage on unity. Adam, you're going to be big on unity today? I might be beating that drum quite a bit. Have I ever said, does anyone ever hear me say, love? Love is what, you're going to win the world with love. You ain't going to win any other way. Anyone hear me say anything like that or something similar to that at all? Okay. How will we not win the world? How will we be just like everybody else? Like fraternal organization or, you know, the Elks or the Rotary Club or we're just not a group, right? And, you know, we go to the Elks meeting, and we have our favorites and people we gravitate towards, and there's people we can't stand, and we bring that mentality into the body of Christ. The Bible knows nothing of that. Now, I can prove it. If I go around and say, okay, I'm going to rate you all how much I love you, a scale of 1 to 10, I'm going to write around the room, and I'll point to you, and I'll give you a number grade and stuff. And you're saying, whoa, don't do that. You can't do it. What happens when you give somebody, you just give somebody a 10, the next person you only give a 7 or a 6 or a 2. How does that work? You can't do that. You're the pastor. I'm saying, yeah, I can't. I don't even want to think in those terms, ever. But here's, so everyone say, ever agree with me, say, you can't do that. Go like, you can't do that. You can't do that. You can? What's the difference? I'm like, Lord, this is the body you've gave me. Praise your holy name. Isn't this awesome? Now, the fact that everybody is not where they ought to be spiritually, we presuppose that before we even come here. But I mean, listen, you're here and you're visiting, right? You're putting a toe in the water. You're checking it out, all right? Let's cut to the chase. Your pastor is seriously flawed in a group of seriously flawed leadership in a group that's seriously flawed right down to the newest person who walked into the church. We're all becoming, we're all going a place, but none of us has gotten there yet. Now, I don't want to use that as an excuse for why I'm not as good as I should be. I'm a sinner, and oh well, that's just it. No. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying we're all on a path. We're all going to heaven. We're all journeying. Hey, let's go together. Yeah, but this one, so, that was me. That is me. I'm as ridiculous as they are. I'm as broken as they are. Whatever you come up with, it's probably true of you. It's probably true of me. We're broken, and God's called us to unity. God's called us to love one another. I think we need to. Listen, it's crazy out there. It's getting crazier every day. Brace for impact. You guys get your protective gear in place, your helmet, your elbow pads. You're going to need some stuff. Your mouthpiece. It's getting crazy out there. And I think this is a place you can come, and we don't have to worry about like what this one's saying about us or this one's saying. But let's talk about gossip while I'm on the subject. I just brought it up. What does disunity look like? Looks like gossip. Man, think about this. I want you to think about this for a second. Again, I'm up here, right? Men, listen, men, lean in. I'm going to say something that I know about your wife. I'm going to say everything I know about your wife that's bad. Right here from the pulpit, you say, oh, no, you are not. That's not going to happen. Or you might get a word or two out by the time I get up there. I will make you stop. And I'm saying, like, you manly man, God bless you. That's correct. That's how I feel. Why do we think we can do it with the bride of Christ? Listen, have you no fear of God whatsoever? Are you serious? You think you can eviscerate and say bad things about the bride of Christ and Jesus is okay on that? I'm signing off on that? Now, the reason you guys aren't really, really upset with me because you know I won't do that. And you're right. If anyone said something bad about you in my hearing, they would change their tune real quick. Why? Because, one, I am your advocate. I am your chief apologist. Nobody's going to badmouth you around me. I promise. And surely won't be me. Never happen. You say, boy, Adam, I don't think you like gossip very much. You getting that vibe? Because I'm trying to send that to you. You're new here. You don't know. I haven't done this in a while. This is a gossip-free zone. We don't do that around here. Why? Why do you feel that strongly? I'm glad you asked. You won't be here later on for Proverbs, so I'm bringing Proverbs to you. And I don't mean that as a slam. I know a lot of people, you got stuff Sunday night, and you kids, and we don't provide. I get that. But having said that, I'm going to bring, this is Proverbs tonight, okay? There are seven things, six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination. What's that? Like God saying, like, hey, the six things I really can't stand. Oh, I just thought of another one, seven. No, it's got nothing to do with that. It's got like, hey, the six things I really hate. Now, this is a mechanism. This is like a thing in Proverbs. Oh, yeah, seven. And special attention to seven. I'm going to put the seventh thing, and it might surprise you, in this list of six things, and you'll say, yeah, I know God hates that. Yeah, God hates that. Yeah, God hates that. And the seventh thing is kind of like highlights the seventh thing, okay? So now, let me read the passage. There are six things that the Lord hates. Yeah, seven are an abomination on him. Abomination, is that strong language? He means it to be strong language. Am I being strong now? I want to be strong. No apologies later. You come up to me and you say, well, that was really harsh. Yes. Yeah, it's a harsh topic. I don't want to soft sell it. This is abominable behavior because it disintegrates our unity, and unity is the chief thing here in this passage today. These are the six things that God hates. A proud look, you're thinking, yeah. By the way, what have I got to be proud about? And while we're on the subject, what have you got to be proud about? I was such a loser outside of Jesus Christ, saved by grace. It's got nothing to do with anything I've done. Proud? Proud look, a lying tongue. You say, I hate that too. Amen. That's very godly of you to hate a lying tongue. Amen. Hands that shed innocent blood. Now you think of abortion, which of course, but no, just any hands that shed innocent blood. An abortion wouldn't be included in that. You think, you're new here and you think, God hates abortion? Yes. Yes, memo from the desk of God. I hate hands that shed innocent blood. That's exactly what it says. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, evil schemes, right? Feet that be swift in running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies. Those are the six. You want to hear the seventh? He that soweth discord among the brethren. How dare you? Listen, Jesus, to you, how dare you? You're saying, that's awful. It's an abomination. It's an abomination. Look, there's two groups of people right here right now. I know it. The first group of you saying, get them, sick them, tell them. We don't want none of that stuff around here. And the group two is like, okay, I get it. Can we move on to the next thing now? If you're group two, when we have prayer, be first one here. Repentance is wonderful. Get it out of your life. There's no place in the life of a Christian. And if I hear about it, I'll tell you what's going to happen. Just going to just be right honest. We're going to be having this discussion over your kitchen table. I'm going to say repent or resign. Go find another church to disrupt. Go find another church to be disunified about. We don't need that here. Say, Adam, that's strong language. I hope it's strong enough. Back to chapter 4 of Ephesians. Look, there's only one of us. It's only one body, right? When we have a group of cells in a body that wants to do its own thing, we call that cancer. Okay? And it's not a good thing for the body. Now imagine you're like, we're a body. And your left foot doesn't want to get with the program. Yikes! And we're limping and dragging along. Okay, it's time to walk, left foot. Come on, you know. And here we are. And that's just the picture. I can give you 1,000 different visuals of that, but we want the body to function and work as one. God does too. So he's, in his graciousness, in his goodness, he gave gifts to men. Now, this is ascending and descending stuff. You say, what's that all about? Can I give you a verse what I think it's talking about? And if you go to Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Did I tell you that, Philippians 2:5? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I want you to think like this, how Jesus thinks. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He's saying, what is that? King James is a little dicey there. I don't think it's very helpful, frankly. He is God, but he didn't think hanging out in heaven along with God, Father God, he didn't think that was a thing to be grasped onto. He didn't think that was something like, hey, I really got to, you know, I got to really cool up here. I'm going to stay up here. He didn't think that was anything. Okay? But he made himself of no reputation and took upon the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Is that humbling? Look at it this way. Look at me if you would. Don't look at the verse. He didn't think being with God was something to be being equal with God is something to be grasped onto. He made himself of no reputation. He took upon himself the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of a cross. Is that humble? Is that a humble God? Now, was that descending into the lower parts of the earth? I think so. I think so. Did he lead captivity captive? Sure, I sure was. And captivity captive, that's you, that's me. I mean, I was captive by this world. I was captive in my sins and in my death, in my proclivity towards evil. What happened? Emancipation, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Bless his holy name. And he says, you don't have to be like that anymore. I can change you. I can give you life. I can give you power over sin. I can break the shackles. Led captivity captive? Yeah. As far as I understand it, you can take exception because I know it doesn't mean that. But this verse, I think this is what we're talking about. He descended the lower parts of the earth. He became humble, even death on a cross. And look at the rest of that. Oh, I lost it, but let's go back to that for a second. Because the rest, if it ended there, it's almost like that's very sad. You know, he did all this. No, he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore? Because of that that humiliation, God exalted him. Yeah, really? Yeah. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Good place to say amen. 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 Praise his holy name. Look, now we're talking about, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. I think that's what we're talking about, that if that Philippians 2 doesn't explain it, I don't know how to explain it. Now that he ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first in the lower parts of the earth, became obedient even unto the death of a cross. He descended into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended into the lower parts of the earth is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And that's the rest of it. God given him a name above every other name, that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, every tongue should confess. Now, so what's the gifts that he gave? Okay, I'm glad you asked. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. It's going to be different from everything you know. It's going to be different from everything you know. Has anyone ever heard of the restoration of the fivefold ministry? Good. It won't be different from everything you know. Can I read it in a different version? And I think this will be very, very helpful. I'm a King James guy, as you all know that. This is the English Standard Version, and they got it right. You say he gave some apostles. It's not some. It's the definite article. What definite article? You remember back in school. The. The definite article. The. Right? And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, these shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, et cetera, et cetera. Does that show a little different light on it? People talk about restoration of the fivefold, like we need to get that, we need to have modern day apostles, we need to have modern day prophets and things like this. I get that. I'm not one who thinks that the gifts stopped. I believe that the gifts are still for today. It separates from other churches. Now, having said he gave the apostles and prophets, I think he's saying he gave New Testament, Old Testament. You say, that's all you think it says? No, I think it's more than that. Listen, let's take one at a time. He gave apostles, right? One of the things that apostles do, like Paul did, he went around the empire, founding new churches. And if you're doing that, that's apostolic work. Do you remember when Judas had hanged himself, and so now there's only 11, and they were finding a replacement for him? One of the things was that they had to find someone who had been with Christ since the beginning of his ministry and was an eyewitness to his resurrection. Is that you? I don't think so. Another thing that the apostles did was write scripture. If you're writing scripture, you're not an apostle. You're a cult leader. It's all been written. You don't have to add to it. It's perfect, okay? I've said in the past, and you've heard me say, apostle, it means sent forth one. Are you a sent forth one into your work environment, into your home, into your community? Yes, you are. So in some ways, there's apostolic work still to do. And he gave us the apostles, and he gave some. And I think, by the way, when I think about apostles, I think about Chuck Smith. I think about my own pastor, Ken Graves. I mean, think it's like, what is it? We got about a dozen churches that he's founded, started. I think that's kind of a very apostolic thing. We came down here and we started a new church. We did the work of an apostle, which thing I never want to do again ever. Tough sledding, are you kidding me? Hang out a shingle and get people to come and to give and to buy a place. You need a place really to get the people. You need people to get a place. It was like, God, I'm in over my skis, do something. Did he? Yeah, of course he did, because he had us do that work. But I'm not saying it was easy, and I'm not saying I ever want to do it again. Serious. So there is the work of the apostle, but there's no apostles like there is in New Testament times with the same authority, with the same privileges, like I say, writing scripture. I don't write scripture, even though I did some, like I said, apostolic work in my life. There's some prophets. There was prophets in the Old Testament. We read about them. We're studying Jeremiah. We're going to finish that off Wednesday night, God willing. Wonderful book. And then we'll go to Ezekiel, another prophet. Are there prophets today? Yes. Do people have the ministry of prophet? Yes. I don't know how else to say it. Yes. Now, first we got the apostles. So your prophecy is, if it's in with what the apostles are saying, good. If you get this, I don't know how to say it and be gracious. I'm just going to say it, okay? And if I don't mean to be. We have a lot of pepperoni prophets. God told me, and I'm thinking, really? How do we vet that? Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. I don't know. If it comes to pass, I guess so. And sometimes people say, well, you know, I really feel like the Lord's moved my heart and he's telling me. Is that prophecy? I think so. And then, and sometimes I bear witness. Because my spirit bears witness, and I say, yeah, that sounds like the Lord. That sounds like something he'd say. Is it an exact science? It is not. Have I ever thought that the Lord was moving in a certain way and it ended up that he didn't? Yes. Am I a false prophet? I had a pepperoni moment. Serious. I don't know how else to say it. I remember early on, I met somebody, and I felt like God spoke to me and said, and that's the first person you're ever going to baptize. And then when that didn't happen, I baptized somebody else. When that person started coming to our Bible study, I said, hey, cool, I could see this. Because we didn't have a church, and things started coming together. I thought, wow, I was wrong. Just wrong. You know, I zigged when I should have zagged. I'm not a prophet. I never told you I was. So there's prophet, but don't think prophet always in terms of future, because prophecy in the Bible is forth-telling. Sometimes it's got that futuristic flavor. This is going to happen, but not always. You know, there's whole chapters in prophecies in the Bible just say, don't do this. You know, it's the prophets calling people to come back to the Lord. That's all. And I think that's a prophet too. And I think God's given us those for our profit, for our benefit, for our building up, as all these. He gave the apostles, he gave prophets, he gave evangelists. Do the work of the evangelist, we're told in Timothy. That doesn't make everyone evangelist. I'm not. I don't have this gift. Wish I did, frankly. But I like what I got, and I'm not jealous, and God made me the way he made me. You know, some people, they just, Greg Laurie. Just a good example. There's a lot I can mention. I kind of like to stick to Calvary Chapel circles is what I know the best. There's people just give the gospel, and everyone gets up and walks to the front and gets saved. It's incredible. Wish I had it. I think of the apostle, the evangelist, like though the dad. You know, when mom and dad have a baby, he's the dad. He's got his thumbs under the suspenders. Look what I did, you know, and stuff. And mom's there, her stomach's getting. She's got like a backache, and she's like, "Just shut up, this guy." And I got this baby for the next million years of my life now, until I bring him to adulthood, and then I'm never going to really stop worrying about him. You know, mom's forever. Like evangelist breezes into town, gives the gospel, people get saved, and he breezes on to the next town. You know. Thanks, and it's great. I mean, people getting saved and meeting Jesus is a wonderful thing. And that's when the pastor teacher takes over. Now, you notice I said pastor teacher because it's one gift. Listen, there's no argument here. You say the fivefold restoration. If that was led by the Holy Spirit, you think the Holy Spirit would know there's only four gifts here. You say, well, there's pastors and there's teachers. No, there's pastor teachers. You can put like a hyphen between it or a It's the same gift. You know why? Because he says he's given the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. It's a Granville Sharp. You say, what's that? It's a rule in Greek that if everything has the on it, but the last two don't, and they're connected by an and, which is a chi in Greek, and I'm not a Greek scholar, but everyone knows this. I mean, everyone says the same thing about that, that that's the same thing. Like the glorious hope and appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, that's the Granville Sharp. Those are the same thing. The blessed hope is the glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot of place in Scripture that isn't. Usually I point it out. This one I want to point out because you've got a pastor, right? God's given you the heart to be a pastor, right? You think he won't give you the ability to feed the flock that he's given you a heart to feed? It's got to be pastor, teacher. I mean, you get these sheep here, but I have nothing to feed them with. There's no pasture land. There's no nothing. There's a desert. Thanks, Lord, as I watch each one of them die to death because I can't help them out. No. This pastor teacher, but that's what pastors do? They teach the word of God. Listen. Yeah, I'll marry children. Yeah, I'll bury dead people. We'll go do hospital visitation, marriage counseling, everything I can do. I'm here to help. Whatever you want. At the end of the day, I think my scorecard is how well did you teach the word of God? How is your heart towards teaching the word of God? And I think that's really like, you know, if I'm judged by God, I think that's the whole thing. I think that's the basis for the judgment. Not like those other things aren't important. They are. But I kind of think they're like a lot of those things are your things. You say, what do you think that? Oh, so glad you asked. He gave some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. What? For the perfecting of the saints. For the equipping of the saints. Perfecting there's bad. This whole passage, don't think I'm anti-King James, but it's not very helpful here, is it? For the equipping of the saints. Who's the saints? You! And me. So he's given us these gifts so we can, so the leaders can equip you. For what? The equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. What ministry? Your ministry. What does that look like? I don't know. Yeah, is that something you and God figured out yet? Because and it may change as you go through different seasons of your life. But God wants you to do ministry. I mean, we already looked at that in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8. And maybe we'll go back there. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, and verse 10. 8 and 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. 8 and 9. We know that verse, right? Verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus under good works, that he hath before ordained that we should walk in them. He saved us so that we have good works that he hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Read here your ministry. Isn't that like what we're talking about here? He's given church leaders for... went one page too far here, for the equipping of the saints for the work of your ministry. What does that look like? I think it looks like hospital visitation. I think it looks like jail visitation. I think it looks like Sunday school. I think it looks like evangelizing the people in your neighborhood, whatever, good news club or people so imaginative and so creative about doing ministry. Does it look like homeless shelter work? Does it look like battered wife shelter work? Does it look like, listen, fill in the blank. Where's your heart? What are you saying? You know, there's people hurting over here, and I want to bring the love of Jesus Christ to them. That's, there we are. What's your heart? What's your focus? That's, you know, so people come to me and say, hey, you know, we need youth group, and, you know, we should have youth group in here and stuff like that. And I think like, oh, man, maybe God's calling somebody to step up because they got a heart for it, right? Now, some people, it's just because they got a shopper's mentality, and they're just telling me, you know, why we're all no good and irresponsible and why we need a lot of growth. But I think sometimes it's that person speaking their heart. Like, I think, you know, we need a youth group, and I think I need to be that guy to step up and do, or whatever. We're teaching the Bible. You might get in harnessed up together with Jesus. Okay, we got some work to do. And he's like, amen. Come unto me, all you labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my what? Yoke upon you and learn of me. I'm meek and lowly of heart. You're going to find rest under your souls, but I want to tell you this. The rest comes in working with Jesus Christ. You say, really? Yeah. Now, yoked up together with him, I want you to understand something. He's the lead ox, and I mean that very reverently. He calls himself that. I know how this works, right? Teaching, right? He does all the heavy lifting. Hey, Jesus, grab the piano. I'll take the sheet music. He's like that. He knows I'm dust. I'm framed with dust. I'm not nothing special. He knows that. And he's saying, you give me a willing heart. I'll do all the rest. I really can. You should know that about ministry. You yoked up together with him. Awesome things can happen. And he's given leaders for the perfecting of the ministry, for the work of the ministry, for that perfecting of the saints, for the edifying of the body of Christ. What's edifying? Edifice is a building. Edifying is building up. Remember, we said that before. He wants the body built up. Does he want it destroyed? Does he want a dissent in the ranks? Does he want us to be disunified? No, capital N. We looked about that in Proverbs. Till. There's a tillness to this. Okay? It's not forever. Till. We all come in the unity of the faith. Now, when we understand things about Scripture, it builds unity. Where's this unity come from? I can tell you. I was in disunity group. Ideas of men. Hey, I think it should be this way. I think it should be this way. Oh, I think it should be this way. Where else does it come from? Religion. Public enemy number one. I want to tell you something. At the beginning of the year, I was praying and said, Lord, what is the church of Jesus Christ here in Kennebec Valley, Calvary Chapel of Kennebec, what do you want this church to look like? What do you want? And I really felt like I made a connection. I really felt like you spoke to my heart. Or am I having a pepperoni moment? See if your spirit bears witness with my spirit. He says, get rid of religion. Real reality. Transparency. Just be who you are. Be who I've called you to be. Don't put in the ears. Don't act all spiritual. Don't act all religious. Hate that. Hate that. And I really felt like he's... And the thing came to mind was, you know, remember the Pharisee and the publican when they go to the temple to pray? You remember that? Lord, I thank thee that I am not like other men, like this publican. And he starts announcing to God all the wonderful things he does. Wow. Man, religion, that stuff will kill you, won't it? Won't it just, don't just eat your whole, now there's a publican, what's he? He's you and me? I mean, come on. He's beating his breast. This is a sign of like, just humility. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said, I like that prayer. He went to his house justified. The other guy, it's obvious. It's a no-brainer. That's who God wants us to be. Don't try to pose. No posturing. I'm broken. I'm trying to get fixed. You know, this is what, and be very, very transparent about that. You know, we have prayer at the end of the service. A lot of people don't come, and I know this to be because people have told me, well, I don't want this one to think, and I don't want this one to think, and I'm worried about what people think about me. Really? On any level? Really? I don't mean chastise. Don't make you feel poorly. But I'm just thinking, we got to get rid of that. We know that you're a sinner saved by grace, okay? The secret's out. You're one of us, broken, defective, and God's putting his spirit in and making him what he wants us to be. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Till we all come in the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Perfect means mature. Okay? Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What does maturity look like? Looks like Jesus. If I said stand up if you think you've arrived, nobody's going to stand up when I give you that type of... Now, some will say, well, I think I've reached a level of maturity. Praise God. I'm sure some of you have. We try to recognize it. Try to encourage, you know, people in ministry and stuff like this. I'm not trying to hold anyone down. I'm not trying to hold anyone back. You know, someone feels like, you know, I think God's called me to be a pastor teacher. Hey, man, what do you think? I'm trying to, well, how can we help? What can we do? Can we pray? Can we help you rent a hall? Can we loan you some people? Can we give you some money? What can we do? I'm all good with that. I'm not. You think we're trying to like hold people back? So I'm like, no. I'm trying to bring everyone in maturity. You think I'm trying to build an empire? It's ridiculous. I think I missed something. No, I guess not. Is that fine? Until we all come to unity. Okay. Oh, verse 15. That's next time. Speaking the truth in love. Just going to say something about that while I'm still here, while we're still in the neighborhood, while we're talking about gossip. Because somebody's going to say, well, it's true. Guys, okay, I'm going to talk about your wife. I'm going to say some really negative, nasty things about her. And you can say, no, you are not. I'm going to say, well, it's true. Now I get a hall pass. I'm going to say, raise your hand. No hall pass, right? Speak the truth in love. If you can't do both, you can't speak. It's not, well, I can't speak the truth in love, but I can speak the truth anyway. Wrong answer. You can speak the truth or you can shut your pie hole. That's not book, chapter, and verse. That's my own feelings about it. Because I'm going to say, don't gossip. You're going to say, well, it's true. I'm going to say, if that's the case, you shouldn't walk. You should run to that person and explain why the behavior they're involved in is going to kill you dead. You got to repent from that. That's horrible. That's going to sap all your spiritual energies, and you're going to be slow freight for Satan. He's going to take you. He's going to separate you from the flock, and you're going to be his plaything. You can't be messing around with sin like that in your life, and you've got to do it in love. It's true. I presuppose it's true. I don't think we'd be talking about it if it wasn't true. And you got to understand, we're all in the same sorry boat, going in the same direction. Here's, look at fellowship. Two fellows in the same ship. We're all going to the same destination. You want to hang out together and go together? You want to be all petty and bickering and stuff like this? I would say that it seems to me the tenor of what God's saying is, hey, do this unified. I will bless that. I've given gifts to encourage that. I've given, you know, men to equip you to do that. I want unity. I want faithfulness. I want a sense of one body. I hope I made my point. Let's stand. Let's... Lord, understanding it for the most part, people here really love one another, encourage one another, and are really good friends and want to see, you know, good things happen. Lord, I just pray you'd take the cancer away from us. If there's any here, tongue wagging, you hate that. You hate those who sow discord among the brethren. May it never be named in this place, now and forevermore. And Lord, if anyone's involved in that, I pray that they would repent just right this moment in the strongest way imaginable. And Father, bless us. Bless us with unity. Bless us as you've blessed us with everything. You've given us all things pertaining to life and godliness. Help us to think about and pray about these wonderful things you've given us, Lord, and move into them and appropriate them. And we want to be more and more like Jesus Christ. We want to ascertain. We want to grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we ask these things. Amen.